Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. I have a very special guest on the show today. I am so honored to have this talented vocalist and my good friend, the incredible, talented Miss Mickey Howard. Mickey.
What's up, Jay?
What's going on?
Hi, oh Jay. God.
Hello, Mickey. How are you?
I'm good. I am good. How are you, babe?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Just, you know, keeping focused and positive of, you know, everything that's going on in my life. That's all I could do is just think of the good outcome of God in my life right now to keep me going and to do this, what I'm doing, and to talk to you, actually. I'm good. Definitely. So how are you?
I'm good. I am good.
So how are you handling it, all this? Because I know that you had a lot of gigs lined up. You know, so how are you handling all this right now?
Hey, I believe in God, man, and you know, I'm the person that if the airplane says there's mechanical difficulties and we have to be delayed, I'll go home and go to bed. Okay, I am the okay.
Exactly, because I mean, you were like,
when it's rolling and it's rolling right, I'll be back. Call me when it's ready. You know, you know, this is a feast or famine business anyway. So, and this is how we spend a lot of our lives anyway. So, welcome to our world where you can't go out all the time. You can't have all kind of people at your house. You know, we travel a lot, so. We're always doing all of the things that they're doing now, you know. I always do it anyway.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, that you've been gigging for, like, nonstop, you know. It's like you never had this resting period till now. And, you know, it's just like, wow. And to hear your voice, it's like you sound like, hey, I'm still here. I'm good, you know. I'm ready, you know, and that's what I hear from
you. Know, it's a blessing. You know, it's just how you look at things, you know. Like you say, I gig live all the time, so I'm always on my throat. So it's a good time. I'm like, to get off my throat, let my voice recover, you know, enjoy the grandchildren. Be the grandma I always wanted to be because I could be here and make breakfast and whatever, you know.
Yeah, be home domestic, pretty much, to the
I haven't gotten a chance to be like this in years, you know, when my kids were very small.
And so it's like sometimes you have to take a break to look at the things that's right there with you, still, especially family at the time. And I think that with you... And I think with you as an artist, because like I said, you've been on a consistency, and I mean, and I'm happy for you. I'm very happy for you. But it's like, it ain't nothing like family to make you just realize, like, this is what I appreciate. Yes, you appreciate the fans that come out and support your shows and buy your music, but it's the family is the foundation to make you stronger. They're the ones that have the motivation. They pretty much are the motivations of what goes on in your life. And, you know, I saw that when I see you post and stuff, I was like, she's doing okay. I like it because a lot of artists, this is their bread and butter, the gigs. Like, they go out to tour and they, this is what they live off. This is how they pay their rent, their mortgage, car notes, everything. And, you know, as an artist, what advice would you give to those that's and kind of like in a damper in that type of situation?
Well, it's always hard, you know. It's always feast or famine. And you, as you grow older, you learn to save. You know, you try to have at least 3 months worth of your bills and things saved up. And you shoot for that, you know, as much as you can. And, you know, there's always going to be a way, you know.
Definitely.
There's always
and
a
I,
way.
Yeah, but you always find a way. You always find a way. And then it's like when I, you know, when we link up, because I'm kind of sad because I don't get to see you like I want to. You know what I'm saying?
I know. We had to
cancel. Yeah, I know. And I was like hurt. And I was like, oh, my God. Because this is like I see you every time. Like every time you come in town, I'm always there to support you. You know,
you sure are.
Mhm.
Yes, you are. I look for you.
And the thing about it, I never ask her for anything, you guys. I never ask her for anything. Like she'd come out and say, "Hey, I got you, Jay. I got you, Jay." I'm like, "No, Mickey, I got it. I got it. I'm. This is what I'm here to pay my money to see you. This is what a real friend does. This is what a real friend does. Support. And that's why I tell people when these artists come in town. Go out and support. That's what matters, especially.
Yeah, we want to keep seeing them.
Exactly. Oh, see, I wasn't even going to go there.
Yeah.
I was not going to go there. Yeah, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And, you know, we're about to go into a little timeline with you, with your career and, you know, and achievements, because people don't understand you have accomplishments, but they never get acknowledged in these times. So it's people like me that appreciate artists like you. I acknowledge those accomplishments. And I tell folks, I said she won the Soul Train Award. She won the first Soul Train Award. So I tell people that. They were like, really? I said, yes. But it's this generation that knocks artists like you off and don't give that acknowledgement. And you guys paved the way. Mm-hmm. And you guys paved the way.
They're missing out. Usually they catch up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But you put your work in. Yeah, put your work in. You charted the charts. And you know what I love about where your career is now? That you're able to control it now. That you can market yourself. And you're your boss. And because your longevity in this career, that's what I love about the work that you put in as Mickey Howard. Because some people tried to count you out. They tried to, but guess what?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing. But what's meant for you, you're going to get it. You know, God is bigger than anything and anybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I am grateful to an extent because so many weird, bad things happen to so many of my peers, you know. And it's not to say it wouldn't have happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Maybe
because it's like
it wasn't for me to be like that kind of successful. I wouldn't have handled it well.
Right, exactly. Because think about you now, you don't be under pressure no more. You know what's right for you as your brand, as an artist. So you make sure everything is so polished. Because every show I went to and, you know, met the background singers, the band, everything is all a love fest. And I see that you have, like, a good interaction with the people you work with. Like, look, I ain't all about that BS, no drama. Here to work with me. This is what it's going to be about. Let's work together. I see the embrace of it. I love it. I really do. I really do.
Thank you. Well, that certainly is the intent. We're on here together. We're out here to give a message of love and hope, and let's just do it.
Exactly. And then, like, with the first album that came out, your debut, actually, Come Share My Love, that was a – how did it feel to be in that moment when you just first heard your song on the radio as a solo artist?
Oh, it was exciting. I pulled over the car and listened to the radio. I was like, oh, my God, I'm on the radio. That never changes. I still get excited if I hear myself on the radio.
Really? Oh, wow. I feel like some people I know, when they hear they stuff, they're like, ooh, they playing me too. Ain't gonna buy me no more. They, you know, but it's just the gratitude of amount of the appreciation that people still love your catalog. But like one of my favorite songs off that album is The Imagination. Because what made me, and I'm gonna tell you why, it made me appreciate you as a diverse artist.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say a diverse artist, that you can do anything. Like I heard you do gospel, I heard you do rock, I heard you do soul, I heard you do jazz. And that right there, it's like, that's what made me fall in love with you, that song, actually. That made me become a diehard fan. And got on the Mickey Howard train. Like I said, this woman cannot do no wrong in my eyes. I mean, because I love artists like that. That's what made me love Chaka Khan, because Chaka Khan didn't just do one genre of music. And, you know, artists like you, around that time where you came up with the Regina Bells, the Shirley Murdochs, and the Vesta Williams, and the Melissa Morgan, you were in a genre where you was doing diverse music. Because, like, that album gave you, like, every element. It gave you pop, rock, soul, ballads, I mean, jazz. I was like, wow, I love this woman now. And then the second album, it just made me, I said, this woman is really trying to have me a groupie. the Love Confessions album, oh my God. When I first heard Baby Be Mine, I was just so sucked in. I was like, okay. I love this woman. I love her, definitely. And did you have any input in these songs when that album came out?
Myself and Sylvia Roan was the head of the everything at that time at Atlantic Records over the Black Department. We picked all the songs. That's it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you was popping with that album, and then like with the third album came in, the self-titled one, that was the ball game for me, because that is actually my favorite solo album by you. That album, that was like a Bible to me, like a music Bible to me. I had the cassette, vinyl. Yeah, it's a very good polished album.
Yeah, so good musicians. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw that my favorite song was Come Home to Me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good song.
Oh, my God. And I was so mad that they made it a single, but they didn't push it well enough like the other singles, like Ain't Nothing in the World, Love Under New Management, and Until You Come Back to Me, you know, those were all good singles. And you was really popping on that album, like, consistently had videos, and I was like, this is what I love about it. That's what I love about it. And then you end up moving to a new record deal, to Giant, and then you did it again. Another number one hit. Ain't Nobody Like You. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, yes, I love that album. But you know what I also loved about the album too? It was diverse. It was diverse. You did?
Yeah.
Ballads, rock, jazz, and you had some heavy hitter jazz artists on that album too.
Joe Sample.
Mm-hmm. And and Roy Hargrove too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, man, I hate that he died off. So many people have died.
Yeah. And to be in that part of that legacy of them, you working with them, it's honorable, you know, because you worked with some very legendary people. And I keep telling people, y'all need to do your homework on my girl, because she worked with some heavy hitters, especially in the jazz lane. So what do you consider yourself as an artist? Do you consider yourself a soul artist, a jazz artist, or a person that's just well-rounded or doing everything?
Well, I don't know. I really think I'm a jazz artist, but I don't really get to do a lot of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
You
and
know?
I wish you did more jazz albums. You know what I'm saying?
I can't even get to do a regular album. It's like people put you on a back burner and be like, okay, you're done. You're like, wait a minute, I have more to give. It's like, no, you're done. We've had the best of you already.
Well, I wouldn't even say that because you as an artist, you're independent. So pretty much you have that creative control to come out with music. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Like, you still can do it, but it's just the marketing strategy of it. So you still have people that come see you, still people that listen to your music and stuff. So anything is possible.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I hope so, because you know I'm going to be the first to support, of course, and blow that thing up.
You better
up.
Be. That's my J-Zerg.
And you know what shocked me was when you did that Mickey Sings Billy album, OMG. Mm-mm-mm.
That's my favorite. I really enjoy that.
That album was so polished. It was so polished. I mean, from string arrangement, horns, it gave you that element. It made you forget that it was in these times when it came out.
Thank you.
Because of the album, I mean, I was like, okay, what's she trying to do to me now? And, I mean, I wore that cassette out. I had the cassette.
David Foster and LaMel Hume.
Mm-hmm. And LaMel Hughes played he pretty much did like your first album, produced your first album, right?
Right. Yes, he did. He wrote "Come Share My Love" and "Ain't Nobody Like You."
Mm-hmm.
He produced "Imagination" and "This Bitter Earth."
Mm. Wow. And that's what I love about. You know, because when you keep consistently working with producers, they know you. They know what works for you. And I figured that he knew what works for you too, because he actually did a song called "Come Home to Oh my God, bring your love home."
Oh, bring your love and home.
Oh yeah, on the Three Wishes album. Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God, I wore that song out. And FYI, you guys, that album got nominated for a Grammy too.
Yeah, and I never get to sing anything off of that album.
Oh my God, that album. What was the song on there? Oh my God, "Kiss of a Stranger."
I like that. Yeah. With the Yellow
album,
Jackets.
Mm-hmm. That song was so polished, and then I like my other song was "From Now On," and I like. Oh my God, the self-titled one, and "One Day Without You." Yeah, it has to. That was a good polished album. And you know, it was so crazy how I first heard that album. That's how I first met you too.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how I first met you from a good friend, Steve. Rest in peace to Steve.
Stefan.
Yeah, I call him Steve.
he's so funny.
Yeah, oh my God. I remember he was it was so funny with this story. You're gonna laugh at it too. So he hit me in the car. He said, "Hey, you wanna listen to Mickey Howard album?" I said, "Oh, which one?" He said, New one. How you get that? Oh, I know her. I said, "Oh, okay. Let me listen to it." I listened to the whole album. I said, "Oh my God." So every time I used to ride in the car with him, one day, he's taking me to the airport, and guess who he's picking up? You.
Oh, yeah.
And then you turned around and said, "Who are you?" And you was like, and then I was like, "Hey, I'm Jay." And then, Stefan was like, this is Jay. He loves you and blah blah blah. I was like speechless. I was like, oh my God, I'm actually in the car with Mickey Hart. And then you start hearing your music. He's like, oh, turn it off right now. Like I'm good.
I don't like riding around listening to myself like that.
Right. And so like for like within that time period, that's when I start really we start actually clicking up because we knew the same people in the circle. So I was like, and I used to tell my friends, I was like, support this woman. I said, I'm not trying to be no groupie. I support her, you know, because she has good music, and I want to be there to support her. So, like, the years start coming on, and then when you start doing live shows, and everybody's like, you always going to go see Mickey Howard. They're like, oh, you always going to see Mickey Howard. Everybody know I love you. I was like,
thank
yes.
You.
Mm-hmm. And so when you start coming out with these other projects, like the Pillow Talk album, and I love when you do Pillow Talk live. I love when you do it live. I love when you do it live. I'll be like, okay. I see. Yeah, okay. So, you know, it's just the growing of each other now to support each other, and that's why I say I support you so much.
And that's why I support you, Jay. I'm like, okay, let's do it. We're doing radio now, okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, I was nervous as hell when I first did this. And the
yeah.
people start getting better, and the guests start getting better and better. And then what made me feel more appreciated about it, that I didn't know people was listening to me like that. I didn't. Like, you know, Tawatha Gee, Kipper Jones, the Ladies of Sky.
Kipper!
Yeah, it was so crazy. And then, you know, Kipper calling me up like, Jay, this thing is going to be big. Keep doing it. And I was like, you know, I said, I got a whole bunch of other stuff I'm doing right now. So, you know, radio is not a big thing for me because I'm a DJ. I love music. DJing and promoting are two of my passions. I love promoting artists. I have fun doing it. That's, like, my biggest passion. So it's like every time when you came out with something, like, you know, I'll promote it. Like, when you come into town, I'll promote it. I even, hey, you guys, I run a fan page that I do myself, everything. I'm the one that pick out the people who are on that page, you know. Because I don't want all these people trying to self-promote their other stuff. If you're on, and I tell people this, if you're on a fan page, you support the artists. Post their stuff. Don't post what you got going. That's the case. I've been promoting all my endeavors that I'm doing, but I don't do that. You know, I don't do that. So what I'm about to do, I'm about to play one of my favorite songs from the oh my God, I'm so excited to play this song on here. This Bitter Earth. And it's a song that I could truly relate what's going on right now in these times. That's why I wanted to play it. Because I like songs that have a meaning and a depth of what's going on in the world today. And I think this one is a calling, definitely, in these times.
Yeah.
So I want you to introduce us this song on the radio.
This is a song that my mom used to play when I was a little girl, and I wanted to record it when I grew up, and I did. We have the feature of Roy Hargrove on here. We found him in a nightclub, and he was very young. The writer of this song is Clyde Otis, who wrote and produced a lot of songs for Dinah Washington, who actually sang it first.
Uh-huh.
Dinah Washington. I got to meet him, and we hung out, and I just loved him. And he put it in his will that he wanted me to sing this song at his funeral.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And I did sing it at his funeral. And one of the things, he called the record company when he heard it. because, you know, they had gotten the clearance for publishing on it. And he called the label when he heard it and said that he wrote it the way I sang it. But when they recorded it originally, they had taken out the bridge. And it was just odd that I unwittingly put that bridge back in there that he originally wrote, that he had taken out. Wasn't that something?
Wow.
And I got to sing it. Yeah, I did. I sang it at his funeral. It was very moving because he was a really great guy, a really great guy. So I'd like to dedicate this to him, Mr. Clyde Otis and Little Richard.
Yes. Here we go. This Bitter Earth on Soul Cravers Radio.
I know.
some strings. Wow.
That's the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I swear, every time I hear that song, it's like the first time I've been hearing it. Man. It still
Thank you,
feels
darling.
Like the first time. Yes, it still feels like the first time. That's a move.
Yeah, every time I hear it, I want to sing it over.
Actually, you did. On the I Choose to Be Happy live album.
Oh, is it on there?
Yeah. Listen, y'all, I have to always timeline with Mickey to make her remember.
I was like, set it and forget it.
Yeah, that was a good live album. And I remember you recorded that. Oh, wow. Yes, I remember that. It was on Mother's Day. You recorded that album.
Yep, it was.
At the Catalina. At the Catalina Jazz Club. And I was so mad I missed that. Oh, my God, I was so mad. But I was like, oh, y'all recording it? Okay, that's good enough. I got it.
And you got it. I like Georgie Porgy on there.
Oh, yeah, the arrangements on there was so funky. And the background singers, that was a good
That's
thing,
jamming,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then the violin.
Right. Yeah, oh, my God. That was a good album. That was a real good album. But that's why I said I need you to do some more jazz albums, please. I hope this next
I one. Need to do some more albums, period, Charles. This is so terrible. This is terrible, Charles. They say you old and they just throw you away. Just throw you away.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Because you have, like, some of the people that I interviewed, they still touring. They're still touring. It's all about the marketing strategy of these days. Because the UK is a big format of soul music. You know you are loved out there in the UK. They love you out in the UK. Huh?
Well, I can't tell. Ain't nobody call my ass.
No, it's just the format of the marketing, you know, of the people in the UK, because it's like you don't have to have music out there. As long as you have a catalog, a fan base, and people that's coming out to see you, it's all that matters. Because I'm telling y'all, every time this woman does shows, they sell out. They always sold out.
I have so much fun. It's so fun. So, I mean, I'm, like, so upset with the coronavirus or whatever it is. What is it? COVID-19.
COVID-19.
I'm so sick of this shit. I'm like, now I can't go in the audience. We won't get to do our meet and greets anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
so.
It's like we're going to have to be in the pixie glass, and we got to do people air kisses and fist bumps now, you know.
Yeah, it's
sad, you know what I'm saying? But like I said,
and what if you meet somebody new and you want to kiss them and stuff? You got to get a test first.
Right,
this is
okay.
Worse than AIDS. It's like airborne HIV. It's like if HIV was airborne. It's some bullshit, man.
Right, and it's like, how you gonna, like you said, date? Like I'm still scared to date. I'm scared of business. I'm like, back up. Like,
I was here when AIDS came out.
Yeah.
It was like,
that was,
I lost so many of my friends, man. It was devastating. It was devastating.
And then, you know, you're a big fan base of the LGBT community. You know, they love you. And, you know, you support them. And to see this now with this COVID-19 thing, it's very heart-wrenching, because you look on the news to see that this thing is very serious, and it's taking a toll of not just regular people, but like artists like you, because you can't do the things that you want to do like you did before. It's like things gonna have to be in a 180 turn where you have to do what they say. It's like you can't do no meet and greets. You can't do this. You can't, because like when you do your songs, you go out in the audience and you touch them out. It's just like you just barricade it now. It's sad, but I pray that this is just a temporary thing, that we could be able to embrace each other and love on each other without nobody having a thought in the back of their head. It's gonna work out. It's temporarily, Mama. You be good. You're gonna be good. You're gonna be good.
I ain't hugging nobody, okay?
You gonna hug me?
I'm gonna be like, have you been tested? Have you been tested today?
You said you haven't been tested yesterday.
You got to be tested today.
Today, right. And I'm gonna have, and then my friend that does hair, they told him that he can't open up his shop unless he have a COVID-19 certificate. Yes.
Ain't what does it say?
Just pretty much stating that you passed the testings of COVID-19, that you're able to, like, everything is in sanitation form of them to use the clippers and all that stuff. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, I think we were kind of lax now. People was really nasty, nigga. I mean, they was nasty. People was nasty.
Yes, they were.
That was nasty. This is all of this stuff they talking about doing is stuff that you're supposed to do anyway, but people have stopped doing it.
Right.
Okay.
And then
they have stopped doing it.
Right, and everybody all of a sudden wanted to be in sanitation form. And I've been
I be on the airplane, and I'm saying to myself stuff like, how come the stewardesses are not wearing gloves? I mean, this is before the pandemic. I don't like the fact that you take, with your hand, you take all of these cups up, okay, and then you'll go hand me a cup with that same hand that you just had on the mouth of somebody else's cup. I feel like that's nasty and unsanitary to them. I think they should wear gloves. They should have been wearing gloves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they should have been double sanitizing all of that stuff. You get on a plane, you have to clean your own seat, which I always do. But, I mean, nobody else did it. They look at me crazy, but I'm like, all right, maybe if you just fly once a year or something, but I fly every other week. So my chances were bigger. So I'm always on the plane with my wipes and spray. And, you know, you have seen pictures. I'm on the plane with my face mask and big goggle shades. And I'm not trying to be in disguise. I'm trying not to catch the flu.
Right. I want to go out how I came in. I don't want to go nowhere else and my body start rigor mortis and getting a different feel of my body that I didn't come in with, you know.
No, you haven't lived until you have food poisoning and you're in Russia, and you're crawling down the hallway of the hotel throwing up. I don't want to get sick. So we, you know, as artists, we take a lot of precautions anyway. You know, when I go in the hotel room, I'm wiping and spraying, and you know, I bring my own sheet. Yeah, you know, I just have a thing. I can't do nobody else's sheets. I can't stand the smell.
You just like me. You just like me. I will bring everything. I will have my own air freshener, bleach wipes, own sheets. I'll be like, take these sheets off.
Candles,
all that. I just get my own ambiance. I don't need no, because like that's, that whatever they sanitation they use on that stuff, it just don't smell clean to me. It just smell industrial. Don't make me feel like
I don't like the hotel has to clean with bleach, you know. So
yeah,
it's a lot of stuff that people got to start doing that they have stopped doing, like kissing people and all in the mouth that you don't know and all that. Shaking hands, I don't want to shake nobody's hand. Do not shake my hand unless I got my gloves on.
Right, and
which I wear gloves for that purpose.
Yeah, but
you
like,
know, I wear my leather gloves or whatever.
You better not be using your nice leather gloves. You better get you.
Yeah, I wear my gloves.
You better get a latex glove to shake their hand with. Don't be using your gloves.
That's what your gloves are for. That's why people used to wear gloves. Well, we got out of the habit of all these nice sanitary habits because, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because we got too
comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the thing about the grocery stores, they should have been, that's like the number one sanitation they should have been doing. You know, and that's why I said when you come in these establishments and stuff, sanitation is a big part of the world, period. Especially if you're going and encountering, like, because I have a phobia. I don't sit in everybody's seat. I have a phobia. Like, if the seat is warm, I'll be like, Like, folding chairs, I'll go get me a folding chair, sit right there. I'm serious. I do not sit in everybody's seat. I have
it's
a
weird,
phobia.
Huh, right?
Yeah, and I've been sanitation wise since I was a kid, you know, because I always kept clean. And you know, I come in my house, I can't just sit up in my room and or get on my bed. And I've been out in the streets and lay up in bed, and I've been.
Oh, honey, are you crazy? Nobody sit on my bed. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows. And do not wear any shoes in my house.
Right.
I don't care if I live in a red box. Don't wear no shoes in here. No.
And people consider this the new normal. I said, no, this is not no new normal. This is called sanitation that we should have been doing because we got too comfortable doing this stuff because it's like a monkey see, monkey do situation. You see that person do something, oh, they be okay. No. People bodies are different. People body reacts different, you know. So
I said
with this whole thing, like yesterday, because they opened half of the stores up yesterday. Actually, the day was Friday, and when I saw on the news these people rushing out on Mother's Day for these flower shops, I mean, it looked like they was giving out free everything. I mean, it looked very chaotic because, and I have to think in my sense. Oh, yeah, they are going to act like that because they've been locked up in the house for since March. So, you know, of course they're going to go out and, rush out and do it. But it's just, I hope everything just comes back normal, but it's going to take some time and people just get more aware with this, especially the industry folks. I hope they get aware of it. What I was about to ask you. Oh, so what other plans do you have? You know.
So what, babe?
For like just dealing with this thing that's going on, are you gonna still try to do music? Are you gonna do? Oh, I was gonna ask you. Are you gonna do like one of them live Instagram concerts or shows or something like that?
No. I don't know how to do anything like that.
Oh, really? You know, because people are really happy to be hearing your voice. You know, because I'm telling y'all, this is the closest y'all can get to me. Y'all, we're hearing her. So somebody asked me that question. They asked me that
what?
If you were doing, are you gonna do a live IG show?
No,
Okay, she asked me a question, y'all, so don't ask me no more.
I mean, you know, if we're doing with the band, you know, and all of that, you know, something like that, maybe later.
Yeah, because I could actually see you doing that.
We could do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've been doing anything else.
And also, you released a single... called Fed Up last year. I love that song. I really love that
song. It was cute, right?
I was like, I love it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Shout out to Derrod Reed for the album cover, the shot of it. I love that shot. That was a nice shot.
He does some wonderful exotic work. I was like, okay, let's be exotic. Come on.
About you because you're very edgy. That's what I love about you. Every time I see you, it's like you switch up. You switch up all the time. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to find myself still.
No.
I'm still trying to find myself. I'm like, what? Something look good, don't look good. Like, well, I'm like, dang, I was cute in that last week, but not this week.
Yeah, but that single was pretty much a beacon call for any situation you just set up. And I was like, oh, I wish you had more of a campaign with that song, because it spoke to me. It spoke to me in many
ways.
Right,
and it's perfect for right now. You know, it is. We should all really be fed up with this garbage, you know, with this killings and all this craziness.
Oh, my
God.
And it's just like, what is going on? And it's kind of like, you know how you be excited when a new year about to come, and then you're like, oh, change is about to come, and oh, this is about to happen, and then it's like, excuse my language, shit on pause. I'm serious. And
yeah, it's so bad.
But it's like, we have to think positive and have people that's uplifting us in these times. See, you know,
we better uplift ourselves. You better uplift yourself. You better uplift yourself, okay? These people, I don't understand. Like, you know, the gang violence among the youth, you know, is still going on. If you guys going to be a gang for a reason. Do something besides kill each other.
Right.
You know, you just going running around killing each other, selling dope, when your whole existence is at stake.
Mm.
But they don't even plan to live past 21.
Mm.
So it's hard to tell people that believe they're dying to tell them that, yeah, you can live, you can be okay. They can't even spell. These kids in these gangs can't even spell. That's one of the reasons they're in the gang.
Mm.
You know, intelligent people don't join gangs.
They sure don't. They're busy trying to make money.
Yeah, so it's a lack of education. They have no dreams, no desires. They don't believe they're going to be anything. That's one set of issues. And the other set of issues is the police are vigilante, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, they're used to dealing with one type of black person or person, period. The police
right.
are not, they don't trust anybody. How can they
right.
trust somebody when all they deal with is violence and terrible things, you know? So even a good cop is going to be scared in the shooting when he shouldn't.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, because their mentality is that everybody's the same, because this is what their environment of consistency of. This is what they looking
right.
around of. Mm-hmm. I feel you on that.
You know.
It's like people need to just get it together, but it's just like people still doing the same thing. It's not going to stop. And the only way
We all mm-hmm. need to get it together. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The wives and mothers of these police officers,
mm-hmm.
okay, they need to, you know, get with their family and try to teach them better. And the mothers of these gangbangers, you know who you are, stop gangbanging with them.
Right.
Stop condoning this behavior. Try
mm-hmm.
to show them another way of life. I don't care what you got to do to get them out. If I tell somebody right now to take a Greyhound bus, like somebody that's living somewhere and they're miserable and they feel like they can't get out, and I say, why don't you take a Greyhound and get a job at the first grocery store you can and rent a room
mm-hmm.
and start your life again? You know, that's out of the question, because it's not fabulous and glamorous, but it really is, you know. But it's, you know, oh no, they can't do anything like that. That's too scary. That's too, you know, you hear me?
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
And if I had to do it right now today, I would.
Right. Right. And that's what I love about your outreach, that you reach out to the young generation to let them know that you are worth it. You're worth it. But don't let nobody motivate you in a sense where you're harming others, but you're not just harming others, you're harming yourself because you're not following in your own directions and your footsteps to take care of yourself because you know that you have to sit down and face yourself and say that you are worth it. Definitely.
Yeah, follow your dream. And then, and it's okay to have a different dream than being a rapper.
Mm.
You know, you might want to study frogs. Find a way to study frogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's available. It is available.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to make happen, you can make happen.
Definitely.
Just like they can buy those Jordan tennis shoes.
Oh, my God.
You know,
I've never
been
into that. They're
borrowing for that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I've never been into that trend, and never. Never. But we're out of time, Mickey.
Already?
Yeah. Been an hour already. Yeah, but Mishiki, I really appreciate you for being the pillar of my life. And I tell you that all the time. Not just because I'm a fan of your music, but I consider you one of my good friends. And I love when we have these talks like this because I listen. That's why I get quiet, because you deep. But you speak the truth.
Oh, my God.
No, for real. I'm serious. And that's what I appreciate about you. Like, I really, when we sit down and have these talks, I mean, it's deep. Because I feel your concern and your care. Because you want those people, you want to make the world a better place. Especially around you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we need people like you to, you know, speak up on these matters and be a voice because we need that, especially somebody that's been around that and seen that. And you, like I said, you're a big pillar of that in my being. And that's what I love about you. Seriously. Definitely.
Thank you, darling Jay. You're the sweetest. I really try to just, you know, spread the love, honey.
Mhm, and we need it. And so, how people can reach you on social media?
MIKITHAT on Instagram, and you know, Mickey Howard on Facebook, MIKI, and Twitter, Mickey Howard Live.
You got a TikTok account?
No. And you know, like most people, kids try to get them not to do that, right?
Yeah.
My kids keep trying to get me to do one.
Don't do it.
I
have one, and I don't even know how to use that thing. I just leave it right there, like, whatever. I barely use the Snapchat, so, yeah, whatever. Snapchat. Yep, Snapchat. Good old Snapchat. But you good where you at, so you don't need all that other stuff. You good. Well, I thank you guys for listening. I'm closing out my first season of the show, and I'll be back in the fall with a new season. So thank you guys for your continued support. And thank you again, Mickey, again. I appreciate this. This means a lot to me, you know, to do this. You took your time out to do this. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Mickey. And I will see you guys in the fall soon. Yes, definitely.
Happy show. Happy last show. You did it.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
One step closer to your dream.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you guys, and you guys have a blessed one. Peace.
All right.